most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
Welcome to Sports Talk on this Friday afternoon. I'm John Wilkerson, pinch hitting for Jimmy Hyams, is the one, the only, Vince Ferrara. Vince, how are you?
I'm good, J-Dub. How are you?
Doing quite well. And we have a lot coming your way today. We've got a number of guests. We have a lot of sound. We will talk hoops with Al Brown from 5 until 6. That's talking Tennessee for both the Vols and the Lady Vols, the Southeastern Conference, NCAA. It's all right there. And so Coach will be on with us from 5 until 6. We appreciate and welcome your phone calls while he's with us. A little bit later this hour, Jesse Smithy of 5starpreps.com. So much going on in high school hoops and other things. And let's see, we've got a good friend of yours, Brad Edwards. We just saw the Raps put on the college football season with LSU and its national championship on Monday, but Brad's going to join us to start hour number two of the program.
Yeah, a lot to reflect on this year and just some big topics in college football carrying over into the offseason, transfer portal, and the recent TV deal that was signed at the end, or agreed to, I should say, for the future years and how that could impact college football. And then, you know, if it's the usual suspects in his opinion for next season. So lots to talk college football with Brad Edwards from ESPN.
So that'll be at 4:05. We also look forward to bringing you a conversation between Jimmy Hyams and Frank Frangi, our friend down in Jacksonville. Not only is Frank very familiar with and covers the Florida Gators and what's going on with that program in the Southeastern Conference, but he's also the voice of the Jacksonville Jaguars. So there'll be conversation about Florida. There'll be conversation about Tennessee football, as well as what's going on with the Jaguars, which, if I'm not mistaken, in that quarterback meeting room is
Mr. Joshua Dobbs.
So I'm sure that will come up as well. But conversation, Jimmy Hyams and Frank Frangi, hour number two of the program. We have remarks pregame for Rick Barnes as the Volunteers look to bounce back from what was a rough trip to Athens Wednesday. Tennessee plays at Vanderbilt tomorrow night. It was a very impressive performance by the Tennessee Lady Vols as they went to Florida and roughed up the Gators. We'll have postgame remarks from Kelly Harper. We also have a practice report with Eric Kane. We've got your chance to win with a Sports Fix at 6. And if we leave enough time, because we only have 3 hours and 53 minutes now remaining in this program, we'll bring you comments from Titans coach Mike Vrabel as his squad tries to make it 4 straight wins on the road against the 4 division winners in the AFC. Week 17, they win at Houston. Week 1 of the playoffs, they win at New England. Last week, they win at Baltimore. And tomorrow, with the AFC Championship on the line, the Titans play at Kansas City. They've already got wins against everybody in the playoff field in the AFC, with the exception of the 5 seed, the Buffalo Bills. That was the only one that eluded them this year, and that was back when it was such a significant struggle. I believe they lost that game 14-7.
Yeah.
Woof. Obviously, the two teams they've met once before. The Titans were a surprise winner as Patrick Mahomes made his return from his knee injury in that ball game and had a great game in terms of what his production was. But in the end, the Titans came away with the win, the surprising win. I believe it was 35-32, the final. But anyhow, we'll see if whether or not the Titans can do what they did not so long ago, and that's get a playoff win at Arrowhead Stadium.
Yeah, much different Titans team. Honestly, I think both teams are different than their first meeting. So obviously the venue is different as well. The stakes are much different also. Just a very fascinating game in their contrasting styles, and one that's the heavy favorite and the other that goes in with a chip on its shoulder because of the success that you outlined and because they have the belief that not very many people outside of those walls had in them. And that can be powerful when you execute and you put it together and maybe the other team feels some pressure.
So we have all of that and more coming your way today on Sports Talk. Why don't we jump into some news and notes brought to you by Image Matters. And I don't think there's any question, Vince, that you look at the Tennessee Volunteers. And one of the things Bert Bertelkamp spoke with Josiah Jordan-James as he had him on the postgame show Wednesday. Great thing about basketball, if you have a bad outing, you get a pretty quick opportunity to turn around and get rid of that taste in your mouth. And Tennessee has to do that as it goes to Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt, pretty competitive against Arkansas for the first half of its trip to Fayetteville on Wednesday. In the end, the Razorbacks pulled away for a comfortable win. But the Commodores still looking for that first conference win for Jerry Stackhouse. And obviously, Tennessee doesn't want it to come at its expense.
Yeah, and without Naismith, the Commodores are different. Second year in a row, they've had to overcome a significant injury to their best player. So, but they have been competitive, and you know they're going to be a challenge. You know that arena is always going to be tricky, and Jerry Stackhouse has them playing hard. So that's the. You can't assume anything with when you're playing this type of team. And Tennessee isn't really good enough to not play well and then out-talent teams. You know, they remember last year with Williams and Schofield and Bone and Alexander, they had to really struggle. They really struggled at times, and Grant Williams put them on his back last year. So with all that talent last year, you barely got out of there. So this year, the margin of error is much smaller. So they're going to have to be a lot better. The shot making has been an issue that has continued for a while. What really got them blown out against Georgia was the defense.
Oh, yeah. And the fact that Georgia was so impressive in how it, throughout almost the entire game, if Tennessee wasn't going to run and get back down the court, Bulldogs were more than happy to sprint the length of the court, and they got so many easy looks because of that.
Yeah, and you could also, and I'm guessing in meetings this week, Rick Barnes has pointed back to effort for that, and just really no excuse when your bigs are beating Tennessee's guards back to the other end and getting to the rim and transition. It's not good. So the effort along with the defense overall. And I don't think this team, they are young and inexperienced in a lot of areas. And I'm guessing it took the guys that went to the NBA from last year's team a while to figure this out. It's not, when you're talking about effort sometimes, it's not the guys don't care, they don't respect the uniform. Young people in sports don't always know what playing hard is. Like, and you hear coaches talk about strain. A lot of times we put our own limits on ourselves in what is our maximum effort. And we don't realize that we have more in the tank to give. And athletes don't always understand that there is more within you that you have to push yourself to play harder. Not that you're not trying or quitting, but you don't know how to tap into that higher level of effort. And I think there's just a lot of guys right now that don't get that they have to put out even a greater level of effort in order for them to do the things they need to do. When that light comes on in terms of the effort, and the strain, who knows? It'll probably be different for everybody. But I think that's a little bit of what's happening to this team right now.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. And you just wonder exactly what they can do. You've talked a lot about it because you handle the pregame interviews. But when you look at how many different times and how many different ways Tennessee has had to hit the reset button this season, first you lose Lamonte Turner. And you also have a player step away from the program in Zach Kent. And so you're down to 8 scholarship players. Then Santiago Vescovi joins the program and is immediately plugged into action after showing the coaches what he's capable of. And so you get back to 9. And now what you had thought would be kind of easy pickings and have a big man under the basket at the start of the season, finally the last gasp appeal of the You had a denial first of the waiver request, then you had the appeal denied, and then the last gasp is finally approved. And so Uroš Plaušić is now available for the Tennessee Volunteers, made his debut against Georgia, and we'll see exactly what that means for team chemistry, what they now look to do, how different perhaps the approach is, because I don't think there's any question. When you had a couple of lineups recently where you had Eve Pons working in the five, mm-hmm. as the five, okay, yeah, you're making some adjustments. But what do you think his presence will mean?
Well, I think you hit on one of the key things is Eve Pons, if he doesn't have to play the five at times in some situations, and you can play him, say, at the four, then he can help you out with more weak side defense, which I think with his leaping ability, his shot blocking ability, I think that's where he can be even more of a defensive presence. It is much more difficult to rise up when you're having to body up to an offensive player, oftentimes taller than you. So when he can come over weak side and let Uroš defend those taller post players in his more natural position, I think that should help Tennessee long term. But there was obviously nerves, and you got to have the guys familiar with who's where. You take a misstep one way, and then you lose your coordination and everybody being tied in defensively. My pregame interview is with Uroš. So looking forward to, we talked about some of those things, the transition, what it was like to wait, and then the pronunciation as well, so everyone can practice. So all that coming in the pregame interview, the Vol in the Spotlight, tomorrow night before the Vanderbilt game.
That's right, and that'll be a 6 Eastern tip, so 5:30 is when you tune in for the Tennessee Tip-Off Show. As far as the future of Tennessee basketball, signees Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer have been named to the 25-man 2020 Jersey Mike's Naismith Boys High School midseason team, as it qualifies each of them as finalists for the Naismith High School Boys Player of the Year Award. Tennessee joins Duke, Kentucky, and North Carolina as the only four programs in the nation to have multiple signees make the 25-man Naismith midseason team.
I mean, a lot of excitement with these teams. And you know, fans, when things don't happen well in a program, get mad at ESPN because they keep showing graphics of what might have happened wrong. Well, now, in most Tennessee games that are on any of the family or networks, they're showing next year the signing class that Rick Barnes and staff just put together. So that's a frequent graphic that gets revisited. That's very much a positive in talking about, you know, the three main guys in that class, and Corey Walker being the other one. So just a terrific talent with those five stars, and you know, it's pretty special. Company to be with Duke, Kentucky, and North Carolina in terms of having that level of talent recognized in that Naismith midseason team.
As far as Tennessee football goes, I don't think there's any question. A lot of excitement generated by how much momentum Tennessee had as a program, closing the season the way it did with the late rally and the victory over Indiana in the Gator Bowl. You also have what was an outstanding effort on signing day in December. You signed 16 of your 18 commits that day, and you wound up with five signatures from players who weren't committed to you going into that day. So you've signed 21. You've got a couple of transfers that are on their way to Knoxville, so you don't have a whole lot of space left in the 2020 class. But at the same time, now that we're past the end of college football, recruiting heats up once again, and I don't think there's any question that you have a couple of big and primary targets for Tennessee, and there was a bit of a shakeup in terms of visit lists this weekend, as Tennessee target Dee Beckwith is going to be in town this weekend.
Yeah, it's significant, and Tennessee has still room for a couple of guys, so they have to be very, very selective with the guys that they'd be willing to take those commitments and then sign signatures from. But hey, this class can still get better, and there are guys still out there that are they absolutely will make room for, and then figure out the numbers on the other end. And it's a rush to the finish line. Another thing that I think is very much a positive in terms of that is, other than David Johnson going to Florida State, the coaching movement discussion has been awfully quiet. And if you can escape what Tennessee did in the end of this year, finish off that strong, and only have one change to your coaching staff, that's a win, and I think can only help them come signing day.
We have seen a couple of recent hires. When you look at the NFL coaching carousel spinning and impacting college football as Rule left Baylor to take over the Carolina Panthers, we now see Dave Aranda taking over the Baylor program. You wonder what opportunities might still kind of just crop up at this point in time.
It's true.
But you're exactly right, though. You would think that in most instances, if there was going to be change, you might have seen it already. And who knows, it could also be something that now all the focus, since we are here on the 17th of January, all the focus might be, I guess, 2.5 weeks from now when it's the next signing day.
Right. And there can be moves or hires right after that.
Correct.
Like Joe Osave, who is a non-field part of the staff, he's out in recruiting for Tennessee, and I'm sure that's taking David Johnson's spot. So he's been very involved in recruiting anyway. So and he's worked with those running backs some also. So that's a real natural, easy fit. So why rush into hiring a running backs coach right now and changing things when you pretty much have everything ready to go? Make sure you get it right. Maybe do it after signing day. Maybe a running back coach that you would want doesn't want to leave his situation until after signing day. Mm-hmm. So then it might even open up your field of candidates.
Yeah, and there was another piece of news that really stands out, and that is we see a new offensive coordinator that is taking over at Georgia. Are you surprised to see Kirby Smart make a change after just 1 year with Coley being the staffer that stepped into the role that was vacated by Jim Chaney?
Yeah, I'm not surprised about that because it did not go well. And I think there was a lot of criticism on Coley throughout the season. And we've seen Georgia make changes year to year, even when they've had success. So when it didn't go well, you're starting over with a quarterback. Then I think that's not that surprising.
Todd Monken, who was formerly the head coach at Southern Miss this past season, he was the offensive coordinator for the Cleveland Browns. He is the coach that Kirby Smart has added to his staff. Coley is right now expected to have a new assignment and new responsibilities as he moves into a different role, but it's not as though he's been fired. He's just Smart is just making a change at play caller.
And remember, they did that the year before Jim Chaney came to Tennessee. He was working with the quarterbacks and the OC, and he still remained the OC, but I think that's when they started sharing duties, and then he went to work with the tight end some, which really was a strange move, but I think it might have been, hey, we want to keep Coley on our staff, mm-hmm. so we have to give him some extra title and responsibility. So some of that happens, but I think this is because of lack of productivity, and Monken obviously was available to him also.
That's Vince Ferrara. I'm John Wilkerson. That's a look at news and notes brought to you by Image Matters. Vince, you've been dealing with Image Matters for quite some time.
Yeah, they do unbelievable work. Go to them for scorebooks, for football and baseball, as you know, and everything they do is top-notch, high quality, so really awesome that they're a part of Sports Talk, sponsoring News and Notes.
Technology you need, people you trust, Image Matters. That's Vince Ferrara. I'm John Wilkerson. We'll get a break and be back with more. This is Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Not so much our job as it is our obsession. 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Sports Talk rolls on. I'm John Wilkerson. Vince Ferrara pinch hitting for Jimmy Hyams today. And Vince, you just never know what's going to happen next. We've seen a handful of Alabama players that have decided to skip the opportunity to hit the exit door and go on to pro football and return for next season. I think there are at least four noteworthy members of the Crimson Tide program, with Najee Harris being the most recent to do so. Clemson has also added one to those ranks. Travis Etienne today announces that he will be back next year to run the football for Clemson.
Wow, that's a surprise, and that is huge for Clemson.
Isn't it, though?
Yes. There's a reason why he was the main ball carrier there. They can recruit and have addressed that position in recruiting for sure, but he is one of the best backs, if not the best back, coming back in the country for next year. So,
what do you make of a number of players deciding that is, I mean, we saw Trey Smith do it at the University of Tennessee, but what do you think as far as a number of players that have decided this is what I'm enjoying doing, this is promises made, different things like that. What do you think of so many that are passing the opportunity when very few do that?
Well, I'd have to see the numbers, see if there is more returning, because seeing a lot of LSU guys leaving.
Well, that's true.
A couple on the offensive line, on defense. So, and they typically are the ones hit the hardest by it. They're the early entry into the draft. So we'll see how it shakes out. It does seem like, to your point, that there are more big name players that are deciding to come back. The Alabama players might be a little surprising, because I think the theory was that that would be connected to whether Tua came back or not.
Right.
And he's not.
Correct.
But a number of them are still coming back. And the quarterback is the position with all the free agent NFL quarterbacks that will be out there. That's a position where, more than normal, you can make a case for a quarterback to come back to school and wait to be out there in the draft when there's less, the fewer big name quarterbacks that are out there. Some may decide to address their quarterback position via free agency with one of those experienced veteran, in some cases Hall of Fame quarterbacks, versus drafting one. So that could hurt their draft stock. But you're seeing it at other positions, including running back. It is interesting. Running back's a position where oftentimes you're told, hey, less tread on the tire is a good thing for you for the NFL. Go when you can. I don't know what if there's an exact theory for it, but it does seem like there are more of them making that decision.
That's Vince Ferrara. I'm John Wilkerson. We'll get a break. When we return, we look forward to being joined by Jesse Smithy of 5starpreps.com. He joins us next on 99.1 The Sports Animal. Sports Talk continues. I'm John Wilkerson. Vince Ferrara pinch hitting for Jimmy Hyams, and it's always a pleasure on Fridays to catch up with the driving force behind 5starpreps.com, and that is one Jesse Smithy. Jesse, how are you?
Doing well, guys. How are y'all?
Doing quite well, and you get to this stage of the season, and you were, of course, about 2.5 weeks away from the second signing day, and also everything has just been raised to another level when you look at all the action that's going on in area boys and girls high school basketball. And one thing I know that you guys have been doing a great job of is highlighting, perhaps there were so many impact freshmen last year, there are more this year, and you guys have been doing something called the Next Big Thing, which is now on to Volume 3, correct?
Absolutely. We unleashed the third part of the series this week, and we highlighted a young lady out at Webb School of Knoxville, their middle school program, named Mia Green, who I saw social media videos of over the summer and was just blown away by this girl. And I'm like, what high school does she play for? And the more I research, I figured out she's just 11 years old. And we're starting to see these kids come up, and we saw it, I guess, first off at the Tennessee Kentucky Futures All-Star Games in Clarksville over the summer. These kids just don't look their ages anymore, and they're starting to develop skill sets that are mature and beyond their years earlier and earlier. And so I just kind of, the light bulb went off in my head, and I remember watching these old programs in the 80s and 90s on TV, and they would showcase some young kid who's going to be the next big thing and college or pros or what have you, and I just kind of drew inspiration from that. And so we went out, and I sent Dan Flesser out to Webb School in Knoxville to cover a middle school game. That was probably a first for him. And in his illustrious journalism career, I don't remember him ever talking about covering middle school basketball, but he went and watched Mia Green, and she scored 21 points that night. And we talked with her and her father, Sean Green, who's a basketball trainer himself. He played locally here at Fulton, and he trained Admiral Schofield and a number of other area athletes. And so not only does she have that influence in her life from her father, but her older brother, Jalen, is the starting point guard on Webb's defending state champion boys basketball team. So it's a basketball household. She has a basketball pedigree, and you start to learn and understand kind of what makes her special. And I know Shelly Collier, the head girls coach at Webb, is probably just counting down the days until Mia Green can help her basketball program. If you go to school at Webb as an eighth grader, you can play on the varsity team. So she's still 2 years away from that. And we have a quote from her middle school coach saying, hey, this girl's already got the skill set of a high school player. So if everything continues to project and play out for Mia Green, I mean, she could be another special player. And this is something I said with Eric Ainge and Brian Rice yesterday on the station, is we're trying to be tactful about how we go about writing about these kids. We want to make sure their parents are okay with it. We're not proclaiming them to be the next Glory Johnson or Kate McMahon or whatever, you know, the great players of the past here. But we do want to alert the public that, hey, keep an eye out on this kid. Remember this kid's name, because in a couple of years, you're going to be blown away by them, possibly.
Yeah, and speaking of blown away, and you've touched on it some already, it is amazing just how early players like this are ready to contribute. And that's either leading a middle school team, or in those instances where you see somebody who's not quite to the high school level but is able to suit up for their high school team. It's just amazing when you look at all that's available in terms of quality athletic training at a very early age, and a mindful form of athletic training that so many area youngsters are proving that they're just ready to be perhaps future superstars.
Well, I think everybody's kind of learned from the Maryville model in that, and this is no new thing that has developed over the last 10 or 15 years, but you want to have your feeder programs and your middle schools all doing what they're doing at the high school level, so that when the players get to ninth grade, they can either contribute right away as a freshman in some capacity, or they can continue on in the JV program or what have you, and be ready the next year. That's no new system that's been invented, but Maryville has seemed to have perfected that. So you're starting to see that ripple effect from what they're doing in Blount County reach out into these other counties. And so when we went to that Futures All-Star game that I mentioned, the very first person I saw was Adarius Redmond. And I said, wow. I remember telling Danny Parker, our photographer, who went with me, said, look at that kid. I mean, he doesn't look like an eighth grader coming into ninth grade. And the more we learned about him, we pretty much knew he was going to be a starter at the varsity level. And we didn't know what type of impact he would make. And he made a huge impact. And now he has offers from SEC programs already as a freshman. So you're right. It's been an unbelievable evolution of the high school athlete over the last 10, 15 years or so. And the kids are reaping the benefit of it now.
Jesse, something new you are getting into is streaming a game broadcast coming up between IMG and Catholic in the prep ranks. Tell everyone about that.
So next Saturday, January 25th at 2:00 is when the game tips off. We'll have a pregame show at 1:30. And if you're not able to go to the game on Saturday between Catholic and IMG Academy and see Jaden Springer, the five-star point guard who is signed with Tennessee playing in Knoxville, his future home, then you can watch it live on our social media channels for free. On Twitter at Five Star Preps, at YouTube Five Star Preps, or even on Facebook, you'll be able to watch it there as well. So we're excited about that. You know, we did some live broadcasting during the football season. My buddy Jared Kidwell handles all that. He's just a godsend to Five Star Preps and what we're able to bring to the community. And on Friday nights during football season, and now we're giving it a go with high school basketball as well. So we're going to have yourself, Vince, carrying the play-by-play, and Ty Green, a former NBA G League player from Knoxville, who was a standout at Bearden, was the mid-major player of the year when he was at USC Upstate. He'll be doing the color analyst work, and he knows all about these games. He played against Oak Hill Academy twice while he was in high school, and so he's going to know the feelings and the nerves and the David versus Goliath type of feeling that these Catholic players are going to be up against. So really excited about that. And again, the pregame show will start at 1:30. You can catch it on YouTube, Twitter, or Facebook, and then the tip-off's at 2:00. And We'll get to see upwards around 12, 13, 14 Division I caliber players out on the court that afternoon.
Insane. Should be a lot of fun. Also on your website, you've got the All-State football teams from the TSWA. Anything stood out about those teams?
Well, we got those out, and people can also get on the site and go to Fall Sports. We have a category at the top that says Fall Sports, and you can check out All-State teams for cross country and golf and soccer and just everything that went on. So we kind of had a barrage of all these teams come out from the Sports Writers Association right here after the Christmas break. And so those are all free reads for anybody who might have a young man or a young lady who played these fall sports and might be honored on one of these teams. So it took a lot of work from all the sports writers involved. And I was involved heavily on the football side of things and getting those teams selected and put out, and we do our best and try to make it mean something by not honoring 100 kids per classification. We try to kind of pare it down and make it mean something. We put those out, and we congratulate everybody involved.
Our guest, Jesse Smithy of 5starpreps.com. He joins us on the Stanley Fenton Gates hotline. And how cool is it to see Holden Willis getting to take his first flight this weekend?
Yeah, it's an experience that it always comes at some point in your life. And I know I didn't take my first flight until I was in sixth grade. And I was probably too young to be nervous. And then I didn't fly again until I was about 27 or 28. And so I'm sure he was a little nervous today. I think they have arrived down in South Florida, where he is taking an official visit to the land of Vince Ferrara and going to see the South Florida Bulls and what they're all about. And they had some coaching changes go on there, and they brought in some guys who were familiar with Holden Willis, and now he's got his offer from South Florida and going to see what that campus is all about. I still think he has some fingers crossed and maybe some hopes deep down that Tennessee might find a way to get him on campus. But you're starting to see all these wide receivers pop up from the transfer portal and land over at Tennessee, and I think he's making the smart decision to start to look around. And I think we're going to see Appalachian State get involved with the recruitment of Holden Willis here in the next few days. And so we'll see what he feels like down there, if he feels like home. And all his family's up here in East Tennessee. But at some point, you got to make that business decision for yourself and say, hey, this is the opportunity I want to take or not take. And we'll see what kind of impression they can make on Holden Willis, the Class 1A Mr. Football from Greenback.
That's Jesse Smithy with Vince Ferrara. I'm John Wilkerson. We'll get a break. We've got Jesse for another segment. He joins us next to close out this first hour of Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Making average people feel more attractive since 1876. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Radio WNML.
Final segment to this first hour of Sports Talk. We have another segment with Jesse Smithy of 5starpreps.com. Vince Ferrara pinch hitting for Jimmy Himes. I'm John Wilkerson. Jesse, when you take a look at, first of all, we have talked about some of the players that were outstanding last year as freshmen, but you look at B.J. Edwards, and he has just picked up where he left off, hasn't he?
He has, and he was our underclassman of the year a year ago for what he was able to do on the class AAA level as a high school freshman, and he more than held his own against guys like Quez Glover and Joe Anderson when they had to face off against them. And now you see his scoring increase this year. You see his rebounding increase this year. And, of course, he's still able to distribute the basketball. And that's what you expect from him. He's now a top 50 player in the class of 2022 nationally. And he couldn't come into a sophomore season with that type of label and have a letdown. Now, he had some preseason injuries that could have set him back. I know we showed up to the first day of practice and he had a face mask on. He had gotten hit near the orbital bone during a pickup game. And he had some other kind of nagging things as well that kind of hit him at the start of the season. But he's come back and come back with a vengeance here in the sophomore season and has Catholic, I think, 13-2 going into this game tonight against Baylor. And that'll be a really difficult test for them. But you've seen BJ's body mature as well. And, of course, that's to be expected, him only being a sophomore. And you're seeing him have more rise and more bounce in some of his dunks and more creativity with his dunks. And so he's just only getting better. He's only getting more explosive. And It makes perfect sense as to why Tennessee offered him a scholarship.
Speaking of being offered a scholarship, we stay with Catholic, we stay with Tennessee, but it's Tennessee baseball that has offered Caden Martin.
Right, and I know he was excited to put that news out earlier in the week, and I'm sure a lot of Tennessee baseball fans were excited to see that. I'm sure they want Tennessee football to extend an offer to him as well. We'll see if he can be one of those rare two-sport athletes in college. I think all along, Caden has expressed his love for baseball and how that's his passion. But if you stack what he did on the baseball field as a freshman compared to what he did on the football field this past season as a sophomore, I say right now he's maybe a little bit ahead on the football. So he's got a lot of projectables, a lot of talent on the baseball field, and he's going to continue to grow into those and develop, and we'll see what he turns into. And I think that's why you're starting to see him garner some of those offers on the baseball field. And he's had a lot of attention placed on him as a baseball player over the last 2 or 3 years, and he knows how to handle that and knows how to handle being in the spotlight as T. Martin's son. So he's very mature for his age, and he's only going to continue to get better.
The hour evaporating before our very eyes, but Jesse, who are some of the top area teams that folks should get out and see? Give us a handful of boys teams as well as girls teams.
Well, it's no surprise that Bearden is good once again. The girls only have one loss. The boys are playing extremely good basketball right now, even though they pretty much lost their top six players from a year ago. The last I saw, they had a 9 or 10 game win streak, so they're playing extremely well right now. The Maryville boys and Maryville girls are also going to be contenders in Class AAA, as are the Oak Ridge boys and the Oak Ridge girls. And we'll visit with some of those programs tonight. The Webb boys are defending state champions, and they pretty much returned their entire starting lineup, except for Emery Lanier, who transferred out of state to follow his father down to Atlanta. And so we'll be visiting with Webb tonight. And there are a number of other programs, kind of outlier programs, like Oneida girls, Northview Academy girls, who are going to be in the mix. Jefferson County girls and boys have nice teams. And so there's going to be quite a few teams, along with the regulars like your Fultons and what have you, that have a chance to reach Murfreesboro this season.
So it's only going to pick up in its intensity from this point forward, correct?
Absolutely. We're a month away already from the postseason starting.
Wow. Goodness. And, of course, you're always welcome to folks sending you all their athletic information, box scores, you name it, correct? And what's the best way for folks to do that?
Yeah, they can send us emails to 5starpreps@gmail.com, and we get scores and stats and box scores on a nightly basis from coaches and administrators and assistant coaches. And so we try to get all that info out there, and it helps us kind of stay on top of what's going on. We saw Hayden Llewellyn, a Jellicoe freshman who was part one of our Next Big Thing series. He scored 55 points last night, a single season record or a single game record for Jellicoe as a freshman. And Joe Anderson, the point guard at Maryville, has 2,000 career points now. So just all that information that we get helps us, sing the praises of these kids.
Well, Jesse, thank you very much for your time once again. Good luck with getting everything covered this weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
See you, Smith.
All right, appreciate it, guys. Enjoyed it.
Thank you. And that's Jesse Smithy of 5starpreps.com. We'll get a break. Hour number two of Sports Talk is next. And Vince, Brad Edwards leads us off.
Yeah, terrific insight. We'll talk college football from one of ESPN's best.
That's next to start hour number two of Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.